supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Among potentially dozens of newly discovered planets is one right in our neighborhood. Let's put out the welcoming mat with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Now, of course, it does depend on how large a neighborhood, but when you think just 8.3 light years away, that almost sounds like next door.
It is really next door. If you consider the size of the galaxy itself, we're talking about 100,000 light years across, 30,000 light years thick. And where we are, way out in the boonies on the outer edge, near the outer edge of the galaxy, out here in our neighborhood, it's fun to be able to find planetary neighbors right next door. So this one at 8.3 light years away is at the same distance as the closest star we can see in the northern sky. And we can even see it during this season. It's Sirius.
Who do we credit with the discovery?
We can actually give credit to a group of astronomers that are using the twin 10-meter Keck telescopes at Mauna Kea in Hawaii. They've been using on that telescope a very special instrument. It's the high-rise, high-resolution Echelle spectrograph. It has been identifying stars that have planets in orbit by using a very different method from that which was used by the Kepler spacecraft, as it was identifying thousands of planet candidates at a distance of 3,000 light years away from us. In this particular instance, instead of using the transit method, which is where you watch the light output of a star drop as an object passes between the star and our observing position, this is a method that actually looks at the spectrum of a star and notices in that spectrum a slight shifting back and forth, which indicates that there is an object in orbit tugging on the star. So it's really a gravitational way of telling that there's an object there because you can see the wobble created by the pull of the planet in orbit around the star.
Derek, among the nations capable of sending satellites aloft, there's a notable launch record set by, no, not NASA, not Russia, not the European Space Agency, but
by India.
India?
Yes, the Indian Space Research Organization has been in the business of launching satellites for clients that need lift services to low Earth orbit. And just last week, they broke the record for the number of satellites carried into orbit by one launch vehicle.
How many?
104.
100 big satellites launched in one day?
You would think that, except that this is a very different kind of launch. The launch vehicle size is fairly standard. It's the satellites that are, well, shall we say, substandard. In fact, this is a group of 104 nanosatellites called nanosats. And these nanosats very easily fit into the payload compartment of the launch vehicle. And the launch was successful last week to put all of them into orbit.
How nano is nano?
Gosh, it's barely larger than a loaf of bread. So just imagine 12 inches long, 4 inches wide, and 4 inches high.
What do these satellites do?
Of these 104, three are satellites from manufacturers in the United States. 13 of the satellites are from clients in Europe. And the remainder of them, 88, are satellites that are going to be part of an Earth observation constellation of satellites. This is a group of satellites created by a company called Planet Labs, whose intention is to use these satellites to image the entire planet Earth every day from their orbital altitude of 310 miles. Now remember, these are satellites. We just described something that's 1,000 times lower in weight than the standard legacy communication satellite. 1,000 times lower in weight. But with this incredible capability to image at high resolution and also download the information quite rapidly. Now, what Planet Labs has done is to put into orbit over time, this launch that they did just last week was 88, the whole constellation they have is 140 satellites, and they've been putting them into orbit little bit by little bit for the last 3 years. So their constellation is complete. All they have to do is get things activated now, and in another 3 months or so, they'll be fully online. Imagine what kind of movie you could build up of either the entire planet or one location on the planet 365 times in a row.
Sounds like the greatest story ever told.
I think it will be an incredible view of Earth that will help us to better understand everything about this very, very complex ecosystem we live in.
310 miles up looking down? How about for the rest of us on the Earth looking up this week?
Well, the distances are a bit greater, but the views are spectacular nonetheless. Jupiter is rising in the late evening now by 10:30. So if you're up till midnight, you can see the largest planet of the solar system over in the east. Although Venus still commands the southwest sky after sunset, with Mars standing not too far off, a little bit above and to the left. And believe it or not, Orion and the Winter Circle are losing their sky dominance already to the spring constellations Gemini, Cancer, and Leo. And sunrise these days is at 6:40 in the morning, sunset is at 5:45, and in just 30 more days, they'll be even Steven, will be at the vernal equinox.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.